Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
Chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before we begin, I want to read you something I found titled Wisdom from the Mouths of Babes. And this does tie into my message. It's from Michael, age 14. He said, "Never tell your mom that her diet's not working." This wisdom comes from Hannah, age 9. "When your dad is mad and asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer." And from Talia, age 11, "Don't let your mom brush your hair when she's mad at dad." Joey, age 11, said, "Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time." Lauren, age 9, said, "Permanent markers are not good to use as lipstick." And lastly, from Aiden, age 8, "Never try to baptize a cat." Now, I share that last one with you because two churches ago where I served in South Texas, I'll never forget one Sunday after the worship service, we had a baptism that day, and a young lady, must have been about 25 or so, she came to me at the door and in all seriousness looked at me and said, "Pastor, do you baptize cats?" She was serious. She was unchurched, and apparently she was confusing the blessing of animals in some traditions, the Episcopal Church, with baptism. And no, we do not baptize cats. Well, let's get that straight from the get-go. This morning on this baptism of our Lord Sunday, I want to share with you a little bit about one of my favorite people from church history. His name was George Whitefield. Anybody familiar with George Whitefield? Wonderful. George Whitefield, if you know church history, was a famous evangelist from the 18th century. Now, he began his ministry in England. He was a contemporary with John Wesley. He eventually came to America, and he preached to large crowds up and down the northeastern seaboard, and actually all the way down into the Carolinas. Whitefield was a mighty man of God. He was used powerfully of the Lord to lead many thousands of people to faith in Christ. And Benjamin Franklin, another great American, often went to see George Whitefield preach. Now, we don't know if Franklin was a Christian or not, but Benjamin Franklin in his own writing said he loved to go hear Whitefield preach because he could watch Whitefield burn before his very eyes. You see, George Whitefield was aflame for God. He was on fire for the Lord, and you couldn't help but feel and sense the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was upon this man as he preached with passion and power. Now fast forward about 200 years to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. There, a retired American missionary approaching 90 years of age. This is about Christmas time. And this woman longed to give a Christmas gift to Jesus. And on Christmas Day, this blind, nearly 90-year-old woman was able to lead one of the elderly residents of that nursing home to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what do George Whitefield and that woman of God have in common? Well, they were both evangelistic, but there was something more. They were both surrendered to the Lord and had experienced the Spirit of God upon them in power to minister Christ. By the way, that woman was a relative of mine. My family knows her as Aunt Sadie. She served the Lord for nearly 50 years as a missionary in China, in Singapore, and Malaysia. Now, we may not have the same ministry as George Whitefield or Sadie, but we can have the same empowerment that they had by virtue of being a follower of Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, the Apostle Paul exhorted young Pastor Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God that was in him. For Paul said to Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind." Can I ask you this morning, you have that spirit of power at work in your life? Is the fire on the altar of your Christian heart burning hot and high? Or perhaps has the fire on our hearts begun to burn a little low? Might we need to fan into flame the gift of God that is in us? What was possible for George Whitefield and for my Aunt Sadie, great Aunt Sadie Custer, is possible for you and me. Now, what in the world does that have to do with baptism of the Lord Sunday? Stay with me. Look again at our gospel reading according to Luke. And there in our passage we find that the source of spiritual power for our Lord Jesus was the Holy Spirit. And I find it worth noting in our text, and by the way, the baptism of Jesus is mentioned by all four gospel writers. It was so important that apparently all four gospel writers picked up on this and they included it in their writings. But in each of these gospel accounts, I find it so noteworthy that prior to his baptism in the River Jordan and the descent of the Holy Spirit upon him, prior to that moment, Jesus had done no miracles. He had done no power ministry. He had not launched out into his teaching ministry until his baptism and until the Holy Spirit came upon him. And yet before his baptism, he was fully God. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was perfectly in tune with his Father. But listen, it was not until the Holy Spirit came upon him that he began his empowered ministry. Now, why in the world was Jesus baptized? He had no sin. Many theologians believe he was baptized to identify with us. He was fully human, fully man. He had no need for a baptism of repentance. That's what John was doing. But he did identify with us. And so he submits to all righteousness for that to be fulfilled. He is baptized. And as he's praying, heaven opens up and the Holy Spirit came down upon him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven. You see what's going on here? All three persons of the Holy Trinity. The Father is speaking, the Son is there in the Jordan River, and the Spirit of God is coming upon our Lord. And here's what I want to emphasize this morning. If you get nothing else from this sermon, please get this. We too need the Holy Spirit coming upon us for empowered Christian living and ministry. Until the Spirit of God comes upon us in power, we're going to be weak. We will not be as effective in our Christian lives and ministry. Stay with me. I think one of the most eye-opening revelations from God's Word to me over the past 30-some years has been this. There is a difference in Scripture between the inward work of the Holy Spirit producing the fruit and character traits of Christ: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. That is the inward work of the Holy Spirit. And every one of you in Christ, we have received God's Spirit. Don't you ever believe for a moment anybody who would say to you, if you're a Christian, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You do. When you committed your life to Christ, when you were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, Jesus came to live inside of you through his Holy Spirit. And so you have been baptized. We have been baptized into Christ and into the body of Christ. But that is the inward, the internal work of God's Spirit. There's something more. And our Lord Jesus shows us here from the Word. The Spirit coming upon us refers to the empowering work of the Lord. And that's exactly what happened at the baptism of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him and empowered him for his mission. Up to that time, again, he did no ministry. He did no power ministry. But after he comes up from the waters of baptism, as the Spirit of God alights upon him like a dove, he is then launched out into his empowered ministry for the Father. Now, I love the text that Sonny read from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Did you notice what we read there? Samuel is anointing David. And as Samuel is anointing him, the text says the Spirit of God rushed upon him. The Spirit of God came from on high and upon David. And he was anointed of the Lord to carry out the work of the Lord. And in our text, when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he moved out into empowered ministry, as the Gospels reveal. When the Spirit of God was upon him, anointing him to preach and minister in power, what did he do? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He made people whole. And of course, the same Spirit who came upon Jesus like a dove comes upon us. He comes upon us as well. So what do we do with this in the year 2019? I want to share with you loudly and clearly that the Spirit of God we read about in our Bibles is still active in the world and in the church. And it's only the Spirit of God who can empower us to do the work of the Lord. Now, every one of you in Christ, we have God's Spirit already. He's indwelling us, producing the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ. But there is more. We need the uponness of God's Spirit to do the work of the Lord. Now, perhaps you are saying, well, Pastor, I don't know about that. I'm doing just fine, thank you. And my response is great. If you're evangelizing with power and leading people to Christ, and you're living a victorious, sin-conquering life, and if people are seeing Jesus shining in and through you, then praise God. The Spirit of God is working powerfully in you and upon you. But maybe, just maybe, some of us here this morning need the uponness of the Holy Spirit. I sure do. I don't know about you, but I leak. Well, not really. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the little Christian boy asks his Sunday school teacher, but teacher, why do I need to keep being filled with God's Spirit? And she said, well, because we leak. Well, the truth is we don't really leak. Not that he leaks out of us. But as the world comes into us more and more and crowds out the life of the Lord, we need fresh infilling. We need to be continually filled. And Paul said to the church at Ephesus, be ye continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's as true for us today as it was for folks long ago. Could it be that we need to experience the same thing that Jesus did all those centuries ago in the Jordan River, when the Spirit of God came upon him, the same Spirit who came upon Samuel, the same Spirit who empowered Paul and Peter and George Whitefield and my great aunt Sadie and many of you here today? We need to be continually filled. And by the way, the Bible uses different terms and terminology. Sometimes it's the filling of the Spirit. Other times, baptism in and of the Holy Spirit. Presbyterians talk about the release of the Holy Spirit. I don't really care what name you call it, but I know that there's something more for God's people, and it is the uponness of God's Spirit. George Whitefield knew all about that. My great aunt Sadie knew all about that. Certainly our Lord Jesus knew all about that. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity on this baptism of the Lord Sunday, as we recall what happened in history in the Jordan River some 2,000 years ago, as Jesus went down into the water And as he came up, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was led into empowered ministry, effective, God-honoring, God-glorifying ministry. Now, we're not going to rebaptize anyone here today. That's heresy in the Presbyterian Church. We're not going to baptize anyone here this morning. But we are going to give an opportunity to renew our baptismal vows, to rededicate ourselves anew to the Lord, to even ask God to empower us for this season ahead. I'm excited with you about the year 2019. We're moving into a new chapter in the life of our church. We had a great session retreat yesterday. The elders, your pastors, we are all on board. God is up to something here, and we want to present a united front. We want to be about kingdom work and ministry in this new year and season. But I'd be the first to say, not only do I want that to happen, but Lord, I need your Spirit to come upon me and empower me and fill me afresh that I might do what you are calling me to do. Now, how do we experience the uponness of God's Spirit? There's nothing magical at all about it. It's like everything else in the kingdom of God, appropriation by faith. When we, by faith, receive what God has for us and come humbly and sincerely and say, Lord, I need more of your power. I want to be a more effective witness for Christ. I want to serve you more effectively in my Christian walk. I want to be a better Christian husband, father. I want to be a better Christian wife, mother, or grandparent. I can't do it in my feeble strength. I need you and your power at work in and upon me. Jesus, we are told, baptized people with the Holy Spirit and fire. And our Lord Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 11, which of you earthly fathers, if your son asks you for something, will give him a bad gift? How much more will our Heavenly Father give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? To those who ask. If you are willing to ask and receive by faith today, I can assure you on the basis of God's word that he will respond. And so, as we conclude our time here this morning, I want to assure you we're not going to baptize cats or dogs in this church. We're not going to baptize any person here today. That's not what is happening. And we're certainly not going to rebaptize anybody. But in just a few moments, we're going to take part in the liturgy found in your bulletin. It is a renewal service, if you will, a renewal of baptism there on the inside of your bulletin. And there are some questions and answers. If you are here and are wanting to be a more effective Christian and to experience the uponness of God's Spirit, I don't know how that'll happen or what it will look like. I don't expect a literal dove to come down from the ceiling. But I do know this. When we come to God in faith and appropriate his promises by faith, God always responds. Let us come and rededicate ourselves anew to Christ and his kingdom's work. For those that feel so inclined, in just a moment I'll invite you to come by the center aisles, and Pastor Sonny and I will be at each side of the baptismal font. We're not going to baptize you, but we will make the sign of the cross upon your forehead, or if you prefer, upon the palms of your hands, in surrender offered to the Lord. And we will do so in the name of our Lord Jesus and simply bless you and exhort you to live for Christ who died for you and me. God bless you on this baptism of the Lord Sunday. May this be a new beginning in the life of God's people as we by faith receive all that God has for us through his Son, our Lord Jesus, by the power and presence of his Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me in prayer? Lord, we have seen for ourselves from Holy Scripture that the Spirit came upon David of old, that the Spirit of God came upon our Lord Jesus. And church history bears witness to the ongoing empowerment of your precious Spirit. Oh Lord, some of us here today may need a fresh filling. Some of us here today may need to encounter your Spirit, perhaps for the first time. May you come upon us, empower us to live holy lives, to bear witness to Jesus, to do the mission and ministry that you have called us to do, not in our own strength, but in your power and in your might. For this we pray humbly in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight. Be thou my armor, and be thou my might. Be my soul's shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
Have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.